Welcome in to a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with my co-host Jason Williams.
What's up,
and
Kels?
We are back in studio. And dang, is it nice to think about the Bengals are going to play at Paycor Stadium? You know, they haven't had a home game in a month.
I know. I was looking at that the other day and I'm like, gosh, it's
my eye. The bags under my the bags under my eyes tell me that the Bengals haven't had a home game.
The Miami Dolphins game was the last home game,
and that was a lot of travel.
September what, 29th?
Yeah.
It seems a long time ago.
It has been a long time, and I'm very much looking forward to sleeping in my own bed on Saturday night and waking up and going to cover this game on Sunday. And before we get into it, we would like to remind everyone to check out our Bengals newsletter. We got you covered fully in that thing, so be sure to check it out. But before we talk about this upcoming game against the Bengals and the Falcons, which – when we were both making our predictions, there's neither you or I were both like, yeah, both teams are going to be 3-3. Like, this is a game that is might be a challenge for the Bengals.
Now it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I know before it's like, and I wrote that in my predictions today on Cincinnati.com that you originally looked at the schedule and thought, ah, circled that one as a for sure win. And now with some of the injuries on that Bengals defense,
yes,
the run, I mean, I was looking at the numbers. It's like the last 2 weeks has been what has happened. And I mean, and you know, you talk to the coaches, but at least on the surface, it's like they really miss DJ Reader in there plugging up those holes and those run gaps.
Well, that's funny because you were like these last 2 weeks, and I like simply the answer, and it's not me just making this up, like that's how important DJ Reader is.
Yeah.
And heading into the season, there was one position group that I didn't think they had enough depth at, and it was at interior defensive line. Yeah. And nose tackle, because last year the Bengals had DJ, BJ, and Larry Ogunjobi, who was a major contributor. Mm-hmm. And it allowed BJ to kind of be that role player. So now BJ steps in and is just a starter next to DJ. You lose DJ, then you lose Josh Tupou. And now you're playing a guy who you claimed off of waivers before the first week of the season as your starter, essentially, in place of DJ Reader against the number three rushing offense.
A lot of alphabet soup there.
Yeah, DJ, BJ, you know?
Like AJ, we're
just,
JD.
We're just trying to follow it all. But, yeah, that's how good DJ is. But regardless, they've got to figure it out, because these next 2 weeks they're playing two of the best rushing offenses in the NFL. And it's no secret. They know it's coming. Can they stop it is what they're going to have to see.
And I think the interesting thing about the Falcons are that they lost their top running back.
Patterson.
Mm-hmm. And yet they've still been able to keep it up. Mm-hmm. And here we are 3 weeks in a row now with the threat of another running quarterback in Marcus Mariota. You don't think of him as – certainly you don't think of him as Taysom Hill or Lamar Jackson, but –
he attempted 14 passes last week.
Right. Yeah. And he had runs. He's had the last few games. He's had runs of over 20 yards a clip. He averaged over 8 yards a run in the last two games. And that kind of has coincided with Patterson, you know, getting hurt and going down, that Mariota has helped step up and sort of fill that gap that this team is continuing to run the ball very well.
Mm-hmm. But here's the piece of this that – I think you and I will spend some time talking about. The Bengals can help themselves tremendously. And I even asked Brian Callahan about this. I said, do you guys, as the offensive coordinator and the play calling head coach, look at what's going on the defensive side of the ball injury wise and not create your entire game plan around it, but at least acknowledge, if we can get up on some teams and force a team like Atlanta to have to get out of running the ball and make Marcus Mariota with his arm beat you, do you acknowledge that? And he said yes. And he said they have a meeting as coordinators on Saturdays where they go over things like that. And he said they don't, you know, alter the plan, but you certainly are knowledgeable of that. So
yeah,
if there was ever a game for the Cincinnati Bengals offense – Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, hello, to start a football game with a lead this year.
What? What's that?
It would be this week and next week, because then you literally dictate terms. What people have done to the Bengals, where you know they're facing third and long because they got to pass the ball and they don't want to run it because then you're running out of time. Mm-hmm. It will say a lot to me if the Bengals come out and put up 14-21 points in the first half and make this a game in the second half where they're going to have to throw the ball. Then you get your two healthy edge rushers, Hubbard and Hendrickson, pinning their ears back. And then that's when you can really dictate terms and help your defense out.
Absolutely. And you got to think that after how the offense performed last week, another slow start, but finished strong. Mm-hmm. That this thing is now, I mean, they've taken that. They took a big step last week.
Yeah.
And certainly, I mean, goodness, we've had almost a whole week here, or at least football week, without like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with the offense? Mm-hmm. And like, oh, this is, you know, we've gone down the list of things. We haven't.
Right.
We've checked off those things on the list. You feel like, okay, maybe that is the one thing left on the list, like fast start. And if they can get that, they're at home, like you said, for the first time in almost a month.
Beautiful day expected, sunny and 75.
The home crowd, they're coming back. They're still, you know, they're not 2-4.
They're three and three,
this crowd's going to be excited. They're going to be into it. Mm-hmm. They're going to be eager to see their team for the first time, and it seems like forever. A fast start is really that next step here. And if they can get that going, my goodness, look out.
Right. So let's talk about some things that have pleasantly surprised us. I think we should give some credit to the offensive line and La'el Collins. For the first couple of weeks, we objectively stated that they weren't playing good enough. And the last 2 weeks, Burrow said he thinks they've been a top offensive line in the NFL. And his pocket has been clean for most of the game.
Yep.
And when Zach Taylor says La'el Collins had his best game, and then he talked today and he said, I beat Cam Jordan every single time. Like, he's getting his swagger and confidence back. The offensive line is playing better. Ja'Marr finally had his game. Tyler Boyd's getting more involved. Like, the people they needed to kind of get their mojo back, got their mojo back, mm-hmm. and can it continue?
Isn't that amazing to sit here and think, where we were as we sat here last week in the same, did we sit here last week or we maybe did on the phone? I don't remember.
Who knows? What week is it? Yeah.
But
he's two sports journalists.
To think that, you know, they were coming off that Baltimore loss and the La'el Collins, Zach Taylor, animated discussion there on the sideline, and you were seeing signs of this team, and I even wrote the column about it last weekend, like, man, you're seeing signs of this team potentially unraveling if this thing doesn't get going. And we talked about they always talked about the offense is close. Well, it's like, how much more time do you need? Well, apparently they only needed three quarters
in New Orleans, in the hardest place to play in the NFL,
right? And now here we are, La'el Collins having his best game. I saw, Zach Taylor said that. Joe Burrow's sitting here talking about this is the line they envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
This is why they went out and spent all that money and why they rebuilt that offensive line. We're starting to see that come to fruition, that, hey, this is a better offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are we? Do you think that?
Yeah, and I asked Brian Callahan on Wednesday. I said, okay, so let's go back to free agency. They had five players on the offensive line. They didn't have enough money to sub out and get five new players in. So you really had to pick what on the offensive line, what is the must fix? We can't go into the next season unless this is better. And it was the interior guard spot.
Yep.
Because when they did their self-assessment of the entire season, which I think is important to state, the Bengals don't make these types of decisions without being very solid in their research of what they're going to go out and spend their money on. So Zach Taylor comes back from the Super Bowl, probably takes a week off, and then it's straight into the film of where are we going to budget, and then free agency hits you like that. And they wanted to address the guard position because they were abysmal last year at guard. They go out on the first day, the first minute of free agency, they sign Alex Kappa, then Ted Karras, then LC is the third. I tweeted it the other day, but based off the way that they talk about Ted Karras and just the command he has at center and how close he and Burrow are, where like Zach Taylor has full confidence when they got to go on silent count and Ted's got it. He's got the protection plan. Burrow has full confidence in Ted and just him being a captain and just kind of like the toughness he brings. It really seems like they nailed it with Ted and Alex Kappa, because Alex Kappa has also been, we don't talk about him, but that's a good thing when you're playing offensive line. So when I asked Brian, I said, what has shoring up the interior offensive line, where have you seen it help your offense most through a 6-game sample size? Mm-hmm. And he said, Burrow being able to step up and make some of those run plays where he's able to use his feet. And that's such a weapon for Burrow. Like, he's never going to be Lamar Jackson, but like, he's 25. He can move.
Yes, he
you
can.
Know, that's a strength of his. And when he's had time to like drop back and nobody's pancaking him, you're seeing what he and this offense can be. And a lot of credit should be due to those two guys. And I mean, Cordell Volson, props to him too.
And yeah, that's been a pleasant surprise for the team, because that's not who they thought was going to be there. And I mean, he's
been
a little bit of an unsung hero, the way he has gone, from FCS, North Dakota State. They took him as a guy that they could develop and maybe be a solid backup, I think. And now he's the starter and doing a solid job.
And neither you or I have texted each other, been like, wow, Cordell Volson's really getting.
We're not mentioning his name, which is a great thing.
Mm-hmm. So I think for me with this offense is if they can get Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase involved early. Mm-hmm. Because those receivers, they feed off the energy they feel early. And if Ja'Marr doesn't have a catch until the fourth quarter, that's not the type of game he wants to play. So I think if they can keep up with kind of this even distribution that they had against the Saints, and Burrow not taking sacks on first and second down, and even if they're running – or taking a check down and mix in, them being able to stay ahead of the chains, I think, was the biggest difference in New Orleans.
Yeah, now you add that in, and if you could sort of bottle up the positives there that happened and turn that into a faster start. I really liked how they, Zach Taylor said last week, we really need to get Tyler Boyd more involved. They went to him more. I mean, he had
Six targets, season
high in catches. I liked what they did with him last week. Obviously, Chase and you're sitting here. I'm like drawing a blank on things to like try to really pinpoint on the offense. You're seeing. I think Mixon's been, what's the word I'm looking at? He's been serviceable. I think in the last few weeks. And I think that has to be encouraging for them. And you see, I think by being able to knowing that you can hand the ball off and maybe he's going to get you 4 or 5 yards, well, what does that do for the passing game? And so this thing is really starting to click. And even though I think we were all questioning Zach Taylor, and I think he also was critical of him after that Baltimore game, but equally, I think he deserves praise in that there weren't any really silly play calls called in against New Orleans that I can recall.
Ja'Marr Chase and his mic'd up literally went over to him and he said, Zach, that was a great game plan.
That's got to be – all these things are very encouraging, I think, for Bengals fans. And now you look at this stretch of games of, really this is the second week now of, what, 5 games, I think, in a row where you're playing teams that are currently or when you played them, not over 500. Mm-hmm. So – Got to make hay while the sun's shining exactly. right now as you look toward that, you know, back half of the schedule.
And let's talk about that because the Bengals have three games here before the bye where they should beat Atlanta.
Yep.
On paper, the Bengals are a better team than Atlanta. I'm not trying to disrespect Atlanta.
You're
They've
not.
Surprised that's, some people, but they're a couple of years away from being in contention.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals need to get going on offense earlier. That needs to be like point number one because Zach Taylor said it's going to start catching up with us. You can't live like that by, you know, being down two scores the whole game. Like that's not a feasible way to live your life in the NFL. So they should beat the Atlanta. Then they should beat Cleveland. And they almost have to because of that silly week one loss to Pittsburgh. Because at some point, they're going to have to sweep one. And they've already lost to Baltimore, and they've already lost to Pittsburgh. They need mm-hmm. a sweep. Because if you look at how they made the playoffs last year, they swept Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Cleveland...
Swept Pittsburgh, too.
Yes. Cleveland has always been a tough matchup for the Bengals. And this one, though, the Browns' defense is not playing as good as they should be. They don't have Deshaun Watson yet. It's a backup quarterback. Go beat Cleveland on Monday Night Football, and then you come home, and you can't lose to a team that's already fired its head coach in the Carolina Panthers. And then you go into the bye.
Can we go back to Cleveland real quick?
Yes.
It's as we sit here right now. It's look, this team plays terrible in primetime on the road. They've lost now 12, I believe, in a row, which is an NFL record of primetime losses on the road.
Wow. I didn't even know that stat.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty sure it's 11 or 12. I thought it was 11 going into Baltimore, but again, that's still, let's take mm-hmm. it one game at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One game
mm-hmm.
at a time. But anyway, continue
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but then Panthers, right? And then we were talking about it with Burrow yesterday, and he says being 6-3 at the bye is a lot better than being 5-4. And mm-hmm. you look at the gauntlet that they have when they get back from the bye, and they could really do themselves a solid mm-hmm. by winning these next three games. Then after the bye, they get DJ Reader back. Logan Wilson right now, they're saying, is day-to-day, week-to-week. They keep going back and forth with what language they want to use. I'm going to go ahead and guess Logan's not going to play this weekend or probably next week. I mean, he is an incredibly – I don't know the word for it, but, like, he takes really good care of his body. So he's able to heal probably faster, but I don't see him – he didn't practice today or yesterday, so I don't see him playing this weekend. I'm not going to make any predictions for next weekend without more information, but.
Did Pittsburgh out of the bye? At Pittsburgh?
No.
I don't have the schedule in front of me.
Yes, at Pittsburgh and then Tennessee.
And then Tennessee. On Thanksgiving weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, so you get DJ Reader back after the bye. Logan Wilson gets some extra time to get his shoulder healthy. You get, you know, Josh Tupou, who's playing in place of Reader, hopefully is back. He's Zach Taylor said he's a couple weeks. If they can, you know, if the offense, the first couple of weeks, it was the defense holding this team up.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the offense's turn.
Yeah, I was thinking that very thing as I was writing my predictions, and that's football. I mean, mm-hmm. that's injuries happen, and of course, this is a little bit new.
Because mm-hmm. last year, the injury bug did not hit the Falcons.
Right. And
I mean, the Bengals.
And I think you could sit here and legitimately say that injuries on the defense are – I think you can point to that as a reason why that they've had a hard time stopping the run the last few weeks.
But
I don't want to be – I got to tell you this. Can I tell you something
sure.
really fun? It's something I never thought would happen, but I had a few readers this week email me and got on me for – they think I'm a homer for the Bengals.
Wow.
Yeah.
If only they knew.
So.
He's definitely not a homer. PSA to any listener.
I'm like – I just – As my predecessor would say, I root for the story. So
exactly. So we talked about this three-game stretch being critical to the Bengals. You feel a lot better about the team if they're able to do that. But this game specifically, like we talked about, Atlanta's going to try and run the ball. Where I think the Bengals should and will take advantage of is Atlanta's pass defense is one of the worst in the NFL. And yes, they do not have the weapons to defend all the three-headed monster at receiver. And they don't really have strong edge players. So I don't think protection is going to be an issue. Grady Jarrett in the middle is a very good player, and I know him very well. I'm less worried about that because of the Bengals guard and center situation. Mm-hmm. So they should be able to move the ball through the air against this Atlanta team.
I agree. I think this is a win for the Bengals, even though I think it's not as confident of the win as maybe when you looked at that. And this is a credit to the Falcons too. I mean, they've overachieved. Everyone I think thought they were not going to be very good, and ultimately they may not be, but they're 3-3 right now. And I think they're coming off an impressive win over the 49ers, and you know, they're finding a way to run the ball. And if you can run the ball, you got a shot. So, and they're running the ball against a team that hasn't stopped the run the last couple of weeks. So to me, that and the question mark of can the Bengals get off to a fast start, I think sort of indicates that this will be a close game, but I'm confident the Bengals are going to win it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Good. Well, I'm trying to think if there's any other major storylines we need to talk about with this game.
I have the Bengals 31. I had to look up my 31-27.
If they can hang another 30-point game,
yeah,
I would feel good about this offense. But, like, wouldn't it be so annoying if they have, like, another clunker of an offensive performance and it's, like, the fans all get their hopes up and then the next week.
Yeah, it would be, you know? And especially against this defense.
Right.
It's not a good defense.
Yes.
And, but, you know, I'm giving, and maybe I'm giving the Falcons too much credit. But again, talking about the run game, and I just think the injuries are still gonna. Mm-hmm. But this is where what you said. All right, it's time for the offense to carry more of the load, and I think that they're poised to do that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for us covered, but we're going to bring in Charlie Goldsmith to break down some of the X's and O's of this weekend's matchup.
All right, we got Charlie Goldsmith here with us, our weekly segment, Charlie's Chalkboard. What are you seeing on video? You got your notepad with you today. What stands out to you as you look at this matchup between the Bengals and Falcons?
Yeah, I think you got to start with the Falcons offense. I haven't seen a team so dedicated to a specific identity. Not that it's made them the best offense in the NFL, but it's made them ninth in scoring. They're running the ball when they're down 21-0 from the 20-yard line on their own side of the field. They're running the ball on 3rd-and-4 from midfield in a game they're trailing by 14 with 2 minutes left and stuff like that. It works for them because they have all the bells and whistles. They have a fullback who moves all around. They have 2 tight ends, 3 tight ends, 2 running backs, 1 running back, a quarterback who's on the move some. It hasn't been an explosive offense, but it's been an opportunistic offense and a timely offense that's helped them, I think, exceed a lot of expectations.
Old school. I mean, we're not
very old school.
See,
it's a great
a lot
way to
of
put
that.
It.
You talk about the fullback and the fact that they're doing this without really their top running back in Patterson. How have they been able to kind of keep this going? I was looking at it the other day, and you see different names in there, and you certainly have seen Marcus Mariota really step up too and sort of add to that running game. And I don't think, you know, when you think of running quarterbacks in the NFL, certainly he's, you know, solid, but I don't think you would say, oh my gosh, he's Lamar Jackson. But he's become a threat.
Yeah, I think you really have to tip your cap to coaching. Like, the Bengals offense, we've had, oh, they're predictable. Where even though the Falcons pretty much rely on the run game, they're not very predictable. They have just about every kind of run in their book. They'll do every kind of run from every personnel grouping. The receivers are really good blockers. That's kind of the key that makes the whole thing go. So you can play 11 and still pound the ball up the middle. Again, they're not the most dangerous offense in the NFL, but it's kind of been a little formula that's worked for them to stay in games against teams like the Bucs and the Rams.
Let's go to the other side of the ball, and we're talking Bengals offense against Falcons defense. What do you think? What are you seeing right there that, Kelsey and I, before you came in here, we're talking about, obviously last week, a great offensive performance, other than it wasn't a fast start again. We talked about the need for a fast start, but what do you have in your notebook?
Yeah, the Bengals offense last week got back to what it did best in 2021, and that's pick on the opposing team's worst cornerback. Brian Callahan even acknowledged this. The Saints had a practice squad slot corner, and that's why they were calling so many quick plays for Boyd over the middle, because they had such a great matchup. And the Falcons secondary is a question of who's going to play this week. All three of their starting cornerbacks left the game on Sunday. Two of them are questionable. One has been put on IR, and it's a guy who has one career NFL start, who's kind of undersized on the outside. He might be matched up against Higgins a ton, and that's a matchup you think the Bengals can win. And their slot cornerback's just coming off missing basically a full year due to an ACL injury. Didn't look like the fastest slot receiver in the league when he came back last week. So those, I think, are two matchups that the Bengals really can win.
On top of that, Charlie, already a team that's not good against mm-hmm. the pass, even when they're healthy.
And that's the thing, too. Like, they have their safety duo. They're at full strength. You look at when they've played, though, teams are just over and over again, 10 yards over the middle, 10 yards over the middle, 10 yards over the middle. Quick plays, yards after catch, like the stuff that's worked for the Bengals offense, like the Rams in particular did a great job of just attacking that spot over the middle of the field. Their safeties haven't been great making up ground. Their linebackers aren't great in coverage. They are just winning, winning, winning over the middle.
So in saying that, this could be a big day for Tyler Boyd.
I think this is the best cornerback matchup the Bengals have had, even with A.J. Terrell being the guy who he is. Not cornerback, defensive back, because of the ways that teams have attacked the middle of the field against the Falcons. So Boyd, Hurst, Higgins, Chase. Again, it depends on if Terrell's playing. But yeah, this should be a good game for the passing game.
Yeah, and they don't have edge rushers that you really have to worry about protection being
right.
an
well,
issue.
I think that's probably a big reason why they're not good against the passes. Yeah, that lack of a rush.
Yeah.
Real quick, Charlie, anything else stand out that's in your notebook? Anything special teams-wise or something that, we haven't touched on yet?
I will say one edge rusher I like. He was one of my favorites coming out of the draft, Arnold Ebikadi. He's become a starter for them. He is a fast, twitchy edge rusher. You've seen them expand his role because they haven't been getting much production from the edges. That's kind of been their, let's see what this rookie can do. And I think they need to get more from their pass rush as a whole, or else you're going to see more of Burrow running all over the place like he did on Sunday.
Good stuff, Charlie. At Charlie G underscore underscore.
Underscore right? underscore.
Double underscore at Charlie G double underscore on Twitter, and we'll see you on Twitter on Sunday at the game.
Thanks.
All right, Charlie, thanks for that. Good stuff as always from Charlie. Looks, this game has all the makings to be a big game for this Bengals offense, especially passing. So we will see if Joe Burrow and co. can get it done 2 weeks in a row. I'm starting to build some momentum here, and what should be a fun day in Cincinnati, 75 degrees. You don't get that often in Cincinnati in October. So Bengals fans enjoy it, right?
Yes. And you and I will enjoy it because we are both
a little soft,
little softies, even mm-hmm. though we're both northern states people, you from Maryland, me from Ohio. I've become a total wimp about the cold, so
same.
Yes, I will embrace 75 degrees.
Same. I don't even try and hide it. But as always, give Jason and I a follow on social media if you're not following us yet, and feel free to tweet us your questions, comments. We will try and get everything answered. If we don't on the podcast, Jason's writing all week, I'm writing all week, so we will get your questions answered on Cincinnati.com.